Southeast Alaska tribal leaders meet to discuss mining's impact on fisheries. And this weekend's Buckwheat Ski Classic is going to be a circus. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. On our Thursday morning Talk Around Town show, we talked with representatives of the heliski industry about safety, regulations, and enforcement issues. Host Deborah Schnabel guided the conversation with Scott Sundberg of Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures and Tracy Knutson, a recreation and adventure sports defense attorney. During the show, the guests talked about the Saturday avalanche that killed a 31-year-old SEBA guide. He was wearing a locator beacon that allowed rescuers to find him. He was not wearing any other safety equipment. As Sundberg mentioned during the show, SEBA recently worked with the State Occupational Safety and Health Administration and also this season began requiring its guides to wear a common airbag device that can help prevent injuries in avalanches.
We came up with some new programs. We instituted certain helmet mandates, when you should be wearing one, when it's acceptable not to. We also mandated that all guides and clients should be wearing airbags. Well, typically, management is going to trust people in responsible positions, lead guides that have control of a group of guides that ultimately have control of all the clients, that they are going to uphold the standards of the company. This is an assumed thing, and without management pretty much just being a complete watchdog, you know, we are assuming that these things are happening. Everyone's informed. People have been through safety training and the protocols and procedures of our company, and that those are going to happen.
Knutson, the attorney, responded to questions about how companies or local governments can or should mitigate risk in adventure sports on public lands. She talked about how the industry is essentially regulated by insurance companies who require specific guidelines of companies, but she also discussed how it is difficult for local governments or land managers to provide regulation.
In any industry, and the one that you're dealing with is heli-skiing, there are always changes in equipment, changes in standards, and for a land administrator or a local municipality to take on to themselves the burden of staying abreast of what changes in equipment are occurring in the industry, what changes in operational standards are occurring, what changes in safety standards are occurring, what changes in guiding standards are occurring. There are a lot of different facets to running a business like this. And if the municipality or a local government agency is going to mandate different pieces of the program, by necessity, they are taking on to themselves the duty then to stay abreast of all of those changes, mm-hmm. and they're essentially holding themselves out to have some expertise.
Sundberg said after the show he would be supportive of the state taking on the regulation of heliskiing on state lands. Thursday's entire Talk Around Town show, including the discussion on heliskiing, is available on our KHNS News website under the News tab or through a link on our KHNS News Facebook page. Southeast Alaska tribal leaders meet this week to discuss Canadian mines that could impact regional fisheries. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The summit on headwater transboundary development is March 25th and 26th at the Tribal House in Craig, the largest city on Prince of Wales Island. The summit was called by the organized village of Kasan, where Richard Peterson is tribal president.
When you talk about the Stikine and the Unik and some of these other rivers, is the impact on the Chinook and the Ouligan and the, you know, other fish that go up these rivers. We want to make sure that they have adequate plans in place that can promise minimal impact.
The Stikine is east of Petersburg and Wrangell, while the Unik is northeast of Ketchikan. The Taku, east of Juneau, is another transboundary river with a mine in its watershed. Chris Zimmer of the group Rivers Without Borders says the main focus is the KSM project. That's a proposed gold and copper mine across the border in British Columbia, roughly 80 miles east of Wrangell.
Basically, you have what could be considered a time bomb up there of a massive acid mine drainage factory that's going to continue to leach acid mine drainage pollution for hundreds of years. So the question is, can that be contained? can these tailings dams last forever? Can we trust the mining company to do the job right?
Modern mining is different from older mining when people didn't worry about the environmental consequences of things.
Randy Wanamaker is a former deputy Juneau mayor who ran a business training tribal members for mining jobs. He's also a director of Goldbelt, the capital city's urban native corporation, and he's working with the Palmer Mine prospect upriver from Haines.
Canada has a good permitting process, an environmental review process. It's different from ours, but it's no less stringent. They will take into consideration whatever it is we point out to them that would be an issue for us, because the same fish that we're protecting also migrate up into Canada.
Some tribal leaders are already working with developers of rare earth, gold, and silver mines on Prince of Wales Island. Cassandra Peterson wants a similar relationship with Canadian companies.
Whether we come out pro or con depends a lot on the engagement of the mines. And we've had really successful, I think, open dialogue with Heatherdale and the group at NIBLAC and UCOR. You know, they've been really great about being forthcoming. And, you know, I actually really have a lot of praise for those groups.
A representative of British Columbia's KSM prospect will be at the Prince of Wales Island meeting. So will representatives of BC tribal groups called First Nations. Transboundary mine critics are also traveling to Washington, D.C. around the same time to lobby for federal involvement. A group from Southeast will call for the State Department to increase Alaska's voice in mine permitting and development. Rivers Without Borders Zimmer says it's a significant issue for the state.
The scope here is massive. It's across the entire transboundary. So you have tribes, fishermen, businesses, you know, almost from Yakutat and Haines all the way down past Ketchikan concerned here.
Groups involved include the Alaska Trollers Association, Trout Unlimited, the Petersburg Vessel Owners Association, the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council, and the Tlingit-Haida Central Council. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Have you ever wanted to give some anonymous feedback about your representatives in state government? Do you even know who your representatives are? Either way, a doctoral student interning in the state capitol wants to hear from you. An online survey underway this session seeks to gauge legislative satisfaction levels for residents of Southeast. Jessica McKay is a PhD student studying clinical community psychology at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. She says she got interested in that field of study when she worked at a community mental health center in Sitka. The survey is part of her coursework.
It's basically just some sort of project where we are working with an organization where we are looking at how do we make a difference in people's lives, how do we get some feedback on how this organization is working, and kind of possibly make some changes.
McKay is interning this session with Juneau Democratic Senator Dennis Egan. The online survey takes about 10 to 15 minutes to complete. It's meant for all Southeast Alaska residents of voting age, and McKay says it looks at satisfaction with legislative services.
We wanted to reach as many different types of people as possible who, you know, either know a lot about the legislative process or not so much at all. And so it's asking initially, you know, just how often do you vote? Do you vote at all? Do you think you can make a difference in government? You know, how do you think the legislators do? What kind of things do you think they should do?
The survey asks about whether people have contacted their legislators and how that experience has been. And she also wants to hear if people even know who represents them in Juneau.
And I'm finding that some people don't know who their legislator is. And that's fine. That's all part of this process, right? Is just kind of getting the education out there.
So far, McKay's received about 450 responses, mainly from Juneau residents, but she's hoping for more participation from the rest of the region.
You know, that's really the point of trying to do this survey, is that you let your legislators know kind of how satisfied or dissatisfied you are and if there are changes that can be made. I've had some pretty awesome feedback just in the comments section. People have really been open about putting some pretty descriptive feedback in there, and I'm finding that that's really important.
McKay will be collecting responses through the end of March, and then will write up a report that she'll provide to Southeast legislators, hopefully sometime by the end of this session. You can find a link to the survey on our KHNS News Facebook page. It's going to be a circus this weekend for the 28th annual Buckwheat Ski Classic in Skagway. But that's the point. This year's theme is Life is a Circus. Already 283 skiers have registered, the bulk of those for the 10K race. There's also a 25K, 50K, and 5K kids race. The registration is down from last year's record field of 393 skiers. But more will likely take part with good weather and excellent conditions forecasted. Early online registration is now closed, but people can still register during bib pickup on Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. at Sport Yukon in Whitehorse and 5 to 7 p.m. at the AB Hall in Skagway. New this year will be a Best Costume Award based on the Life is a Circus theme, with a prize of a tour package to Skagway's Upper Dewey Lake Cabin. The race begins at the Log Cabin in BC, 27 miles north of Skagway on the Klondike Highway. The race is now organized by the Log Cabin Ski Society. The race is followed by an awards dinner at the Skagway Recreation Center and live music at downtown establishments after the dinner. For more information, visit the Log Cabin Ski Society Facebook page and the Buckwheat Ski Classic website. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld and Joe Vicknicki for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.